We're going to spend a little time in Galatians chapter 5 this morning. I wanted to go over the subject of fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. And in Galatians chapter 5, it lists 9 different fruits. I guess you could say we're a little fruity. Anyway. So chapter 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." It's a nice list. Great qualities of life. And the first thing is that fruit is refers to a result. It's not literally a piece of fruit, but a fruit is something that's a result. It's a, like for instance, the physical fruits that are on plants or trees. It's the end result of that plant or tree, what it's supposed to be doing. It's the outcrop. It's the effect. So it's not like we got raspberries and bananas, you know, but it's a result. So the fruit of the Spirit, the word Spirit, as we know, the word Spirit in the New Testament is used in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it refers to God. Sometimes it refers to the gift of Holy Spirit. Sometimes it refers to the nature of this gift of Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's a figure of speech. Sometimes it just deals with life, like the spirit of man sometimes is referring to his life, the life of an individual. And the only way to tell which way it's used is in its context, how it's set in the verse and the verses around it, etc. And we do the same thing with many words in our culture. There's one that starts with an F, but I'm not going to use that as an example. But it has many different meanings. But the word cool is used, like Dennis and I text each other a lot because of working on his house. And so sometimes after I state some things, he writes the word cool. And by context, I know what he's referring to. But what about the statement, "It was a cool day"? Without knowing anything else, it could be temperature-wise it was a cool day, or it could be it was a fun, good day. And the only way you'll know is by the other words used in the context of that statement. Same thing with the word Spirit. And so what we'll do, we're going to look at the context that this verse is set in to see which use of the word Spirit is here. So we're going to go back to verse 16, and it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Walk in could also be translated as walk by means of. So walk in the Spirit or walk by means of the Spirit, "and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So we're to walk or live our lives according to the, or conduct our lives according to the Spirit. "And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now the word flesh is one of those words also that's used a number of different ways in the New Testament. Sometimes it's literally referring to the flesh on our bodies. Other times, many times it's used referring to the nature of man. And all that's in that. We're just going to, you can keep your hand, a finger here if you want, but we're going to Ephesians chapter 2, right around the corner. Flesh often refers to the nature of mankind in many places. And here's an example of it. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Wherein, and this is referring to any believer that, you know, any person that got born again, wherein in times past, before that happened, before the new birth, You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. Conversation could also be translated as a lifestyle, way of living, manner of life. We all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Here it can't be the literal skin on our bodies, because it sure would make sense. The desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So the word flesh here is referring to the nature of mankind. Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 deal a lot with the nature of mankind, what happened. And we've done a lot of studying concerning the fall of man, what Adam caused, and the sin nature that entered into man. And it's referring to the sin nature, the flesh here. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 6. So the flesh, in what we just read in Ephesians 2, refers back to the nature we had when we were born. And we all were born with the same nature, which was sin nature. We got a little Michael Robert over here, an adorable little fella. I get the greatest spot here because he's usually looking this way, and like he is now. But you know, as nice as that little fella is, there's gonna be a day where he pushes his brother over. Right now, his older brother's pushing him
over. Sometimes
but
he gets him over.
He is going to do something that is just not, that's just mean. I mean, school teachers, especially Peggy was, I think he used to do kindergarten, right? Long time ago?
When I stopped, yeah.
And, you know, they're adorable kids, but they can be mean as crazy to each other. Or unkind or unthankful. Imagine that. It's because they've got a sin nature and it's coming out. That little fellow's got a sin nature. So as adorable as he is, someday he's going to slap his mom. I remember David, he was 4 years old. We were trying to go to Susan's parents' house for Christmas Eve for dinner. We were all dressed up. And I wanted David to put his tie on before we got out of the house. And we're trying to get out of the house. And he's not wanting to put his tie on. All it was a little clip on. It was just a little simple clip on. And he won't do it. And he goes, and he's like challenging me. And I'm saying, you got to put on the tie before so we can get in the car. He goes, fuck off, Dad. That's sin nature. And there it was. I was like, it slapped me in the face. So we all have it. We're all born with it. And that's the context. Verse 16 again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. For reason being, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary or opposing the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And Romans chapter 7 talks about this whole process that verse talks about. You know, that we were born with sin nature, we got the new birth nature, the Spirit nature in us. And I want to do that which is right, but somehow or another, I do that which I know is wrong. And the wrong, the good I want to do, I don't do, because I do the wrong stuff instead. Anybody ever been there? So, that's what it's talking about. It's not the flesh on our bodies, and the Spirit is referring to the Spirit nature, not, you know, it's just the nature, the Spirit nature. Spirit does have a nature. It's a divine nature, as it says in other places in the Word. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So if you're walking by way of the Spirit nature, the divine nature, you won't be involved with those, the flesh. We have two natures, two divine natures. Dogs, animals have a nature. Dogs bite, right? That's the nature of a dog. It's a cute little puppy, but someday you keep sticking your finger near its mouth, it's going to bite you. You know, they bark. They sniff. You ever see a dog not sniff? Just in their nature, the way dogs are made. It's pretty wild. Let's go to Matthew 7, chapter 7. We're coming back here. You know, magnets have a positive and negative polarity. If you put the positive, I forget. If you put the positive to the negative, I think it's...
They stick?
Yeah. If you put positive on positive or negative on negative, they repel. Same thing with the two natures we have. We have the spirit nature, the flesh nature we were born with, the sin nature, which is why we're sinners, our work, and the spirit nature. Two opposing natures. Here's chapter 7, verse 16. Or verse 15, this is an example of that Jesus Christ is teaching about people that look one way but really are another. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. So they look harmless, but they're not. But inwardly, they are raving wolves. So they're trying to look one way, but really they're going to do something else. Ever been around people like that? You know, they look like they're nice, and then they steal from you. You know, ever have that happen? They put their hand in your pocket. They're smiling while they're doing it, but that smile is not genuine. Verse 16: Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree which bringeth forth good fruit. Or even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth great fruit, right?
No,
evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. It's just the way it is. We have two natures. We got the divine nature that we got when we were born again, and we have the sin nature, which we all were born with when we popped out of the womb. Nice as we might have been, got a sin nature. So let's go back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 19. We're going to read a little bit about the works of the... Chapter 5, verse 19. It's going to list a few of the works of the flesh. It's not all of them, but here's a few of them. But the flesh, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, or the manifestations, or the result of the flesh, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Raise your hand if you hear a good one. uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. Nobody's raising their hand. Heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. I looked that up this morning because I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember what it was, and it means where it was used in the Greek culture, where it was a drinking party. They get all drunk up and go down the streets with their torches and go in front of people's house, and it became like a sexual orgy out in the streets. It's just like a party. You ever see the spring break, and they're on the beach and they're all drunk, they're all just, yeah. You know, it's a wild time, and that's revelings. I don't know if that sounds interesting, but guess on how you're thinking. But You know, it's not something you'd want your daughter to go to, that's for sure. Or your son, or yourself. So, revelings and such like, that's why I say it, it's not the only ones. And such like, other things just like that. It sounds like, you know, if you turn on the TV, you're probably going to see a lot of these or watch certain movies. They're flooded with these things. Flooded. Make it look like it's normal. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you often in times past, or told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Not that they're not going to heaven, which some people teach. It's that they're not going to get a reward for their actions, these type of actions. There's nothing in the future that God's going to say, you know, I saw you drunk the other night, you were messing around, doing all stupid stuff. I'm going to reward you for that. You know, you killed your neighbor the other day. I know he wasn't so much fun, but you killed him. I'm going to give you a gold star for that. It's just not what he's going to do. So we're not going to get rewarded for that type of activity. And here comes verse 22. So this is the context. But, and this is a big but the fruit of the Spirit is lying.
No.
There are 9 listed. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering basically means to suffer long or forbearance. We can understand it often as patience. Gentleness, goodness, faith, referring to believing. You know, one of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the nature, the fruit of the nature of the Spirit of God is that it believes God's word. It believes God. It's easier to believe God when you are born again than when you're not born again. It's easier to believe the truth of God's word when you're born again than when you're not born again. Because as it talks about in 2 Corinthians, you know, the natural man, the man that has only spirit, old man nature, sin nature, he doesn't understand the Bible. He doesn't understand truth. Doesn't click. So we got goodness, believing, verse 23. Meekness, temperance. Temperance means a self-control. A person that's utilizing the, you know, walking in this, the nature of the Spirit of God, it's in control of his life. It's not all over the place. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections or desires, with the affections and desires and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, and if could be translated as since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. And the Spirit, again, is the Spirit nature, the nature that we have as a born-again believer. We have a nature in us that produces, when we live the Word of God in our lives, it produces peace. It produces love. You know, and that's why our lives changed so much when we got born again, and then as we started learning truth. We all changed. I mean, our lives are so different than when, before we knew God or His Word, before we got born again. And, you know, there's the constant battle between which nature you're gonna apply this minute. And it's always our choice. Every minute of the day, we're going to choose which way we want to live. And the result will be accordingly. But these are products of the Spirit nature that we have in us, which is really wonderful. That's why we're a sweet group. There's nothing in that list that's like something, I don't want to go near that. I don't want any. I don't want that one. So it's pretty wonderful. So I know at times we have understood this and thinking it's in terms of manifesting the Spirit of God. If you manifest it, that's utilizing the Spirit, and fruit is a result of manifesting it. But it's the context is the Spirit, the nature of the believer, Spirit nature. It's just a wonderful thing. And so these things just start coming out, you know, just like dogs bite. It's just like, well, Michael's going to push over some kid in the kindergarten someday. Just the way it is. You won't believe this, but my first day of kindergarten, they had a water fountain in the actual room, and I was thirsty way back then too. I drank a lot of water, and it was the very beginning of the day for kindergarten. It's like the first 10 minutes or something, and I'm leaning over, getting a drink, and this kid's walking by, and he just pushed me into the thing, so my head hit the wall, and I turned around and slugged him in the face. I think I may have given him a black eye. So I got in trouble for hitting him. You know, because the teacher didn't see the push. She saw me hit him. And I was instantly branded as a bad kid. So somehow I worked out my way out of it, I guess. But I thought, yeah, I was just living what was in me. So anyway, quite funny. So, but what a great thing that God has provided for us. And that, you know, there's a lot of times, you know, you see people that maybe you don't know anything about them, but you can tell a lot about a person just by their fruit, what they're doing with their lives. If they're doing a lot of wonderful things, there's a good possibility that person's born again. I mean, an unbeliever can have joy. An unbeliever can, you know, love somebody. But, you know, if you see a lot of that fruit in an individual, there's a good possibility a person's born again. Really wonderful. Good to know. So, anyway. So, I think that's it.